Hi, you're listening to the Food Adventures Podcast, Season 4. Do you like conversations with people who are passionate about food? When you pick your vacations, do you base it on what you want to eat and then hit up every place Anthony Bourdain said to? Is food your love language? Well, if so, this podcast is for you. Join me here on Fridays, where we will laugh, possibly shed a tear, and always leave hungry for our next great bite of food. And if you're ready, your next food adventure starts right now. Hey everyone, you're listening to the Food Adventures Podcast. I'm your host, Beth Fuller, and this is Season 4. Woo woo! If you're new to the podcast, thanks for being here. If you've been here for all other three seasons, oh my God, I love you. I can't believe we've made it this far. Well, I can, because we're rock stars. So here's the drill. If you don't know the drill, this is the drill. Go to my website for all of the show notes, ElizabethRFuller.com. You don't have to take the notes. I've taken the notes. If you've got questions for the podcast, if you want to be on the podcast, send me an email. Let's go on a food adventure, gmail.com. And of course, follow me on Instagram at Let's Go On A Food Adventure. Slide into the DMs with all of your questions. And please don't forget to like, rate, and share the podcast wherever you listen to it, because that's the way we get heard. And who doesn't want to hear us? All right, let's get into the show. Hey everyone, how's it going? Oh my gosh, new episode, new week. This week is banana pants crazy for me, work-wise, which is awesome. I'm thrilled to be this busy. I am one of those people that thrive in busyness. I love it. I love when things are moving so fast, you almost feel like you can't hold on, but you are holding on and then you crush it. It's one of the best feelings, for me at least, ever. I love when things are moving a million miles an hour and my days are stacked and I just feel like, because it doesn't happen all the time. Like, I don't live like this every single day in the pressure cooker. It's when it does happen, though, it's so fun for me. I would imagine if this was my everyday, it would be like, holy shit. I think it's the balance I have. I fully enjoy this. And I don't feel overwhelmed. Even though I am a little overwhelmed, I don't feel it. So bear with. So happy to have a new episode out this week. I'm so happy to be talking to all of you. First and foremost, can we talk about David Chang's show on Netflix, the live cooking show? Have you all been watching it? Because holy shit, it's so much fun. There are 7 episodes, I believe, live right now. It's live on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. It's really fun to watch. You can interact with the show through the Threads app, and their thread tag name, whatever. They have it all on their Instagram page. It's all linked. So if you like have questions while they're cooking or whatever, it's a fun hang. I think I've mentioned this. Did I mention this show already 2 weeks ago? I might have. But it's back now again. It took a couple of week hiatus and it looks like maybe they optioned to get 10 more episodes or something, because I think there's 16 in total that are going to come out, which is really exciting. So congrats to him and his team. And it's really fun to watch. It's kind of like, it's not Iron Chef, but like there's a nice interaction between him and the guests. And if you've ever eaten at a tasting counter kind of experience where like the chef is literally cooking and plating for you right in front of you, and it's like a small group setting, it's a lot of fun. And it's and to have it be that caliber of like a celebrity chef would be even cooler. But there used to be, I don't know if it's still open, but there was a place called the Tasting Counter in Somerville. I believe that was Carl. Was that Carl? Let me fact check myself. Hold on. No, that was not Carl. That was, it looks like, and I think this is right, Peter Unger was the, I think he was the owner, executive chef. I don't know. But, and they're closed. so you can't go there. But it was a really fucking cool experience. It was very expensive, and slightly pretentious in a nice way. It was just, it was fun. It was fun, and it was really, really, really good food. Really good food. But anyway, this show is similar to that, where you're sitting at a counter and like he's cooking for his guests and his guests really don't know what they're about to eat. And he's fun and he's silly. And it's supposed to be kind of like the anti-cooking show in a way, because there's so much prep that goes into more traditional style cooking shows where like they pull everything's kind of like par baked in places, or they have stunt cookies ready that they pull out like of the oven, you know what I mean? Like as they put the raw ones in, they pull out the stunt cookies to keep it going, because it's a small amount of time that you have allotted obviously to air this. And so you're trying to cram a ton of stuff into a time frame. And the other part of that is that a lot of people want to see like the perfect cookie when it comes out of the oven, if it's on like a fancy cooking TV show. And that's not always what happens in real life, as we all know from our own ovens. And so that being said, his show is not that. It is very much like he burns the croutons. And he admits it. And they have a clip of the croutons that he burned hours before. And like stuff like that, I think, is just fun. He leans into the humility of it a little bit, in a good way, in a refreshing way. And so it's a good show. Recommend it. And I would go back and watch like the Seth Rogen episode, the Bert and what was the other guy on that episode? Bill Simmons, I think, was on that one too. Those two were really, really funny. The Rashida Jones is really good. The Fortune Feimster one's good. They're all good. They're all good. Watch them all. They're all great. They're all great. Okay, what's going on with you guys? What else is going on with me? I've been like bouncing from shoot to shoot, recording podcasts. I've been eating really good food. I'm back on my smoothie kick this in the morning. So, and it's the most boring smoothie on the planet. I've been doing this smoothie probably since like circa 2007, like if not earlier. It's just the only smoothie I find. Me and my bestie Marissa were talking the other day about it, and she was like, your smoothie game is so boring. I mean, she didn't come right out and say it, but I felt that was her energy. She is way more adventurous with her smoothies. And I'm like, nope, this is all it is. I've tried them all. I put all the crap in them. I've tried hemp seeds, chia seeds, flax seeds, fucking Greek yogurt, almond butter, peanut butter, all of the things. No. For me, it's literally 3/4 of a frozen banana. I know it's very specific. 2 large ice cubes, because we make our ice cubes because our refrigerator's so fucking old and our ice cube maker died like 2 summers ago. And when the guy came to fix the fridge, he was like, they don't make parts for this anymore. So you either have to like get a new refrigerator or make ice cubes. I'm like, we'll make ice cubes. No problem. So anyway, it's 2 big ice cubes, 3/4 of a banana, a decent like cup and some change of wild frozen blueberries, 2 scoops of vanilla protein powder. I don't care what one you like the best. You do you. The one I'm into right now is the Vital Proteins one. It's got fucking collagen and like MTC, CT, fucking M&M oil. I don't know. And non-fat milk. Boom. Done. Don't even need almond milk in it. I don't need any oat milk in it. It's just give me the cow's milk. I'm so sorry. It's just what I drink. And I'm okay with it being non-fat. I am. Wazz it up. Done. Here's the thing though, with me and smoothies. And then we're going to, my guest, we talk for, my interview is so much fun and I will stop talking about smoothies in a second. With me and smoothies, it's a love-hate relationship. I love them. I love this taste. I love this vibe. This is my smoothie of choice. But I also then need some kind of starchy carb in the morning too. So, and I know this about myself, and I don't expect my smoothie to give me everything. Just like I don't expect one friend to be the only friend I have and that's all I need and rely everything on them, or my husband or anyone. I like a full variety pack of people in my life that I can depend on for different things and that I need for different things. And I like a full variety thing for breakfast. So smoothie doesn't need to pack it all in. I'm fine with eating a piece of toast with said smoothie, and it's delicious. So that's that. Okay, enough. This is so boring. Enough about this. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's fun. I don't know. Let's cue the music and get my guest going. Okay, here we go. Now, my guest today. I gotta say, when he first reached out and I was like, wait, you're doing what? Oh my God, we have to talk. Like, whose dream isn't it to just fucking give up everything in their lives and be like, I'm out, peace, and I'm traveling the world, and that's the end of it. And there's no end date, so there you have it. It's like the Eat, Love, Pray, Julia Roberts moment. Who doesn't want this? For me, my go-to is always Under the Tuscan Sun. Like, that movie, oh, chef's kiss. And who doesn't want to do that some days? I know I do. I know everyone does. Well, my friend, coming on this pod right now, not only did he do it, he's now been doing it for 10 years. I believe his country count is up to 60 plus, maybe, and he's been to 5 continents, at least, and going, and counting. So please, welcome to the podcast, Nathan from Foodie Flash Packer. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
My God, thank you for coming on. You are a man of the world. Like, I can't believe it. Like, you, okay, hold on. So before we even really get started, we have to tell everyone where you are right now.
I'm currently in Florianopolis, Brazil, but I'm supposed to be in South Africa. I don't know if you saw this on my social media.
Yeah. And, but I thought you, so you're in Florianopolis, is it Florianopolis?
Florianopolis, yeah.
But you were supposed to be in Sao Paulo.
No. I'm supposed to be in Cape Town.
No, I know you were supposed to be in Cape Town, but the last time we talked, you were in, this is so funny. The last time you talked, you were in Buenos Aires, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Then from there, I thought you were going to Sao Paulo because you wanted to get the Japanese Brazilian fusion cuisine because they have the highest concentration of Japanese people out of Japan.
Exactly. Okay.
But now you're not in Sao Paulo. You're in Florianopolis. And did you ever go to Sao Paulo?
Yeah, I spent a week in Sao Paulo. We were in Sao Paulo because we found a direct flight from Sao Paulo to Cape Town. Right. And in 10 years of travel, it was my biggest travel flub that I've had. We walk up to the counter. We have our luggage. I'm traveling with a really good friend of mine. We get to the counter, put down our passport, start to check in for our flight to Cape Town, South Africa. And she says, okay, I just need to see your yellow fever vaccine.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, My what? I have the yellow fever vaccine. I had my yellow fever vaccine like 12 or 15 years ago for another trip to Africa that I'd done. Americans don't have to have this vaccine to enter Cape Town, but anyone coming from this part of the world, even if you were in transit, if you had just been there for 6 hours or more,
you have.
So it's the first time I've ever been denied boarding at the gate. And got turned away. And of course, you know, we scrambled. We took our laptop to like TGI Fridays and we're like, you know, what are we going to do? How do we
get the vaccine? Like, we got to get the vaccine. Like, how the fuck do we do this?
It was on a Saturday. So all the clinics were closed. And then the other thing is once you get the vaccine, your certificate isn't valid for 10 days to travel. Yeah.
It takes 10 days to kick in? Bullshit.
Oh, we could have an entire podcast episode of everything we went through just to get this vaccine. And then once we got our proof of vaccine, it's like a Brazilian proof of vaccine.
Oh my God.
You need an international proof.
Oh my God.
And yeah. So this was a whole, and you can't get anything here. You can't order Uber Eats without the equivalent of like a Brazilian social security number. It's called like a CPF. So at one point we were like applying for a Brazilian social security number.
Oh my God.
We're trying to get the embassy involved. Yeah, it was like this whole drama. But now we have, and then coupled. Like I said, this can be a long story. The whole reason we were here, other than the food, was we were flying on point miles. I'd found this really great redemption where it was not a lot of points and it was 7.5 hours direct from Sao Paulo to Cape Town.
Oh my God.
And Of course, that flight's oversold. So now, after this 16-day delay and dealing with embassies and bureaucracy and applying for all this stuff, we finally have the paperwork. And now we're on a 22 and a half hour flight versus a 7.5 hour flight. So it's been a crazy, crazy past like 7 days, 10 days or something. But now we have our paperwork and the trip is back on. So next time you and I
I know
talk, it will be
you'll be in Cape Town.
Cape Town. Yeah, Cape Town, which
Oh.
I'm very, very excited about. There are very few places where if I'd hit these kind of frustrations
You'd just
or
give up.
speed bump,
You move on.
I would have just given up. If it hadn't been Cape Town, I just would have said, I'm just going to go somewhere else. But I'm so excited for Cape Town. I've heard so many good things that, it's 16 days later, a lot of time, a lot of money. I'm paying for an Airbnb in Cape Town right now. I'm paying for an Airbnb here. Internal flights, everything else. But if it wasn't for it being Cape Town, I would have just thrown in the towel.
So with this 22-hour flight, is there a long layover somewhere, or is it literally hopscotching around Europe, down through Africa, and then to like t tell me you're not coming
It's
back to the
10,
States for this bullshit. Like tell me.
no, 10 hours in Johannesburg.
Oh, okay. So you
So
could you
fingers
leave the
crossed, there's some
airport?
nice lounges.
Like
No, we're having that conversation now if we want to leave the airport. My friend wants to leave the airport, but for me, I'm like, I've heard, parts of Johannesburg can be a little bit sketchy,
yeah.
and we're going to be have our laptops, our luggage will be checked all the way through, but I'm going to be walking around with
No.
laptops, iPads, passports.
No.
Yeah, so for me, I think I will probably lounge hop. My friend wants to go into town,
Never
but
to
I
be
don't know if
seen
I'll leave the
again.
airport.
Your friend will
Never to be seen, at least not with all my
know.
belongings, possibly. Yeah.
It's not worth it. Like you could plan, because you know there is nothing around an airport that you want to hang out at. Like nothing. Like you have to go outside of the airport, like a decent stretch to get to something that's cool. Like, and by that time,
That's what he wants to
yeah.
do. He wants to Uber into town and find a nice restaurant.
No.
Yeah, I'm probably just gonna because the lounges usually have like 3 hour
Yeah.
maximums. I'm probably just gonna try and go to three
Okay,
lounges.
I'll be honest with you. I did not know a lounge had a 3-hour maximum. So that's a new fun fact for me. That's somebody who has traveled extensively would know that. Like, that's insane.
Both a lot of lounges have 3 hour maximums, and a girlfriend of mine was just traveling and she said, "Oh, I've got like 8 hours or something in this airport, but I'm in the lounge." And I said, "Well, you better hope they don't kick you out. It's a 3 hour maximum." She said, "I don't think so." And then she messaged me and she said, "They were paging my name over the intercom after 3 hours, making me
Well,
leave."
yeah, because when it's almost like when you go to a lounge now, they check you in, basically. Like
Yeah.
there's a concierge, there's the desk, you go in. So my brother, he flies, he lives in Brazil, like we were talking about before, and he works in Australia. So he goes quarterly. So he's got a shit ton of status on, I think it's American. I don't, it's one of them. Let's call it American. I think it is. And so when he goes to the lounge, I don't know if he gets kicked out, but what he likes to do on long layovers is he will get and just pay for a hotel room like that is at the airport to
Yeah.
shower to, because some of the lounges are wicked bougie and they have showers and stuff, and other ones are not, as you know. And so he's like, it's just worth it to like go and relax and like keep my shit in one place that I don't have to keep my eyes on it. Because he, like you, he works remotely, so he's got a super expensive laptop and stuff like that that he's like, it's just not worth it. I'd just pay a couple $100 and whatever, you know, but
Well, LoungeBuddy, if any of your listeners, LoungeBuddy is really good for break. It'll tell you if the lounge has a shower and all that other stuff. I very rarely, I only a handful of times have I ever checked into a hotel airport.
yeah. No, I don't blame you, especially because you do this for a living, basically. Okay, so we need
Yeah.
to start at the beginning so everyone can get to know you. And just so our listeners know, Nathan and I are doing a two-part episode because there is so much to talk about, and we are brothers from another mother, and like we just have so much that we can't do this in one. We can't. We
Yeah,
couldn't.
I don't think we would have been able to fit it all into one.
Oh no. So today we're not going to really hit all the countries you've been to. Today we're talking about traveling, which is so apropos for exactly what you're going through right now. So tell everyone a little bit about you and like where you're from originally, Oklahoma, and like what you were doing before you decided to do this crazy thing.
Name Nathan Aguilera. I'm from Oklahoma. I'm actually from a small town in Oklahoma, but I've been living in Oklahoma City for most of my life. We moved to Oklahoma City. I was probably 12 or 13. So spent about 20 years living in Oklahoma City. And just really wanted to see the world. I was a legal assistant working in a windowless office on the 16th or 17th floor of this building and following kind of obsessively all these travel bloggers. And I was telling my friend this recently, we had this conversation. I remember sitting in that office, like scrolling blogs or reading like doom scrolling Twitter, and I just felt like these people are out there living my life. Like I'm sitting in this windowless office and I'm seeing all these people have these crazy adventures and they're all over the world. And I just got like very singularly focused on, I didn't at that time didn't think I was going to become a blogger. I just wanted to go travel. This was, this is now 10 years, and this was supposed to be a 6-month trip. I always say it was supposed to be a 6-month trip, but in my head, I knew it was going to be 1 year. But I felt like saying 1 year was too scary. And if I went somewhere and I came running home, all my friends would be like, "Oh, I thought you said you were going to be gone a year." So I was like, I can say 6 months, I can commit to 6 months, but in my head, I was like, I'm gonna be gone. I'm gonna do a year. I'm
And
gonna do a
like
year.
even taking 6 months off of work, like that's a serious chunk of time to tell your employer, like, I'm going away. Like I'm having like an eat, pray,
Oh,
love
I
moment.
quit the job. Yeah, I quit the job.
Because most jobs
Yeah.
would be like, no, like you gotta
Yeah.
see, peace, see you later. So when you initially thought to take this 6 month leap, where were you initially gonna go?
Southeast Asia.
Okay. And were you gonna like have a home base? I didn't mean to cut you off. Were you gonna have a home base somewhere or just hop around?
Backpacking. This was early days when I was like backpacking, and I was trying to mostly Thailand. I knew I was flying to Thailand. I've been to Thailand once before. I kind of did a little bit of a reconnaissance mission. I went to Thailand and to Nicaragua before I went on the big trip, and I was trying to scope it out and see like, do you want to do like Latin, Central, South America, or do you want to go to Asia? And so I visited both of them for shorter, like 2 or 3 week trips. So yeah, Thailand, and then Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Indonesia, Philippines, stuff like this. That was always the plan because, like I said, I was a legal assistant and I was considering going to law school, but I wanted to be a public defender. And so I was like, do I want to go borrow $120,000 to get a $45,000 a year job? Yeah, so this was going to be a little bit of a sabbatical where I was going to go backpack and sort that out and see if that's what I wanted to do with my
And
life.
did you stay like couch surfing or like hostels or what's the vibe?
So in the beginning, Southeast Asia, I was traveling on enough of a budget where I could always do simple private
Oh,
rooms.
perfect.
There were
Perfect.
times I was spending, yeah, $15 a night or something in Thailand to have a room that was clean, comfortable. It wasn't anything. It was four white walls and a bed and Wi-Fi.
Right. And you could like lock the
But
door and
yeah. It was fine. It was perfect. But then the only time I did hostels, I tried to go from Southeast Asia to Europe, and I was going to like Portugal and Spain. And you cannot get, even 10 years ago when I started, you were not getting a $15 a night private room. So I tried hostels and dorms. And then I was like, this isn't for me. I didn't start traveling this trip until I was in my early 30s. So I was hanging out with a bunch of people in their early 20s. And I was like, no. So I started focusing early on Eastern Europe because you could still, for like $20 a night, get a private room or an Airbnb, 10 years ago in Bulgaria, Romania, places like this. So I, at that time when I was on a smaller budget, I focused on budget destinations for sure.
And so you start off with this 6 week vacation or 6 month vacation. I don't know why I want to say weeks because that just 6 months seems like holy shit. And then at what point, and you never turned around and came home after you started this, or did you?
I think I came home about a year later for Christmas.
Holy
Yeah,
shit.
I came
How
home.
do you pack? How do you pack for something like this? Like, how do you distill down? I am so bad at that. Like, how did you do that? How?
It was super easy because I was going to Southeast Asia, and everything I was traveling with had to fit in a backpack. And so I was like, oh, it's Southeast Asia. I don't know if I took one, maybe I had one pair of pants if I was going to go somewhere nice, but it was all shorts, t-shirts, flip-flops, bathing suits. And I was just going to go be a beach bum and explore tropical places. So, you don't need a lot. And Laundry is so affordable to send your laundry out there. I think I was spending like $1.50 a week to send almost everything I owned
Oh my
out.
God. Oh my God. And so at this time, for this 6 month stint, you were not working. You had saved enough. You were just going out, right? Am I right with that?
Yeah, I didn't work the first 2 years. I had enough in savings. I've been traveling now for 10 years, and the first 2 years was just savings and investments.
Wow. You are thrifty though. Like you can stretch. You make Rachel Ray and her like 10, whatever it was, $20 a day. Like you can really stretch a dollar.
I also sold everything I owned.
Oh my God.
Everything except for like family photos and like very valuable, personally valuable
Yeah.
things, like family photos and things. Those are all boxed up in my best friend's garage back home in Oklahoma
Yeah.
City. Yeah, I remember I had like three jobs at one time, and I was a full-time college student just trying to save money for this trip. And I sold my car, and one of my jobs, my weekend jobs, I worked for. Are you familiar with estate
Yeah, of
sales?
course. Love them.
Okay. I worked at estate sales, and that was one of my little weekend jobs to save money. And we just did an estate sale at my house when I started to leave. And excuse me. And I remember they came in my house. They said, whatever you don't want to sell, you have to get out of the house. And so they came and they priced everything. And one of the things I was keeping was my bed. And one of my last nights in Oklahoma City, I'm sleeping on a blow-up mattress on my floor because my bed's out of there. Excuse me. Sorry. And everything I own is on me, around me with price tags on it.
Oh
And
my
I
God.
remember thinking, like, this is your last chance to pull out.
Yeah.
This is your last chance to say
Yeah.
stop.
Yeah. And you were like, nope, I'm going for it.
It was scary, but I went for it.
So,
Everything I own.
okay. So during that first initial 6 months, at what point did you say to yourself, like, where were you when you said to yourself, I'm not going back? Like, I'm literally just going to keep going.
Like I said, I always knew during the first 6 months I wanted to do a year. And so I left in February, and when it got to be like summertime in Europe, and that was the first time I'd ever went to Europe for the summer, and I knew I was like having so much fun in Europe, and I wanted to go back to Asia for another winter. So I just kept saying, like, I think the first 18 months or 2 years, every 6 months I would make some big announcement on my personal Facebook, like, guys, I'm doing 6 more months, but I'll be home in 6 months. And once it was like about the 2 year mark, just kind of said, like, this is what I'm doing for the foreseeable future, and if I start to come home, I'll let everyone know.
Wow. So it must have felt a little like, you know, like when Dorothy gets out of the house after the tornado and she's in Technicolor. Is that what it kind of felt like? Like when you really committed to doing this, that you're like, I feel like I'm actually living my life. 'Cause you were in a windowless office. Like you were like everything was black and white and sepia tone, let's say. Like, and now you're in fucking Southeast Asia, Bulgaria, Croatia, like you name it. You know what I mean? Like,
It was, one of my very good friends, when I started to leave, she told me, she said, you were the person I know the most that had a dream and like put all the steps forward to realize that dream. And so when I was doing the thing that I had obsessed over for so long, I do remember like feeling like, wow, like it was a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of savings, a lot of sacrifice. I sold my car, I sold everything I owned. And then I was out there doing it, and I was, it was a lot of work, but it was realized. And when you realize it and you make it happen, it felt really
oh,
great.
I bet. So when you get to a new place, what are some of the first things that you do, especially now that you've been doing it forever?
Go eat. I've always got like a map of all the places that, and usually when you go somewhere, it's famous for something. So you're very excited. If you're going to Vietnam, you want to go try the banh mi, or you want to go try the pho. Or if you're in Spain, you want tapas, or whatever the thing is that the country is very known for. Usually kind of throw your stuff down and go rush out the door and try and find that thing that a lot of times motivated you to go to that country.
Okay, and while so that brings me to a really must ask question. How do you get over jet lag so quickly? Because you're in con I would feel like you're in constant jet lag.
Well, I'm doing the longer that I travel, the longer I stay places now. So in the early days, especially when I thought I was going to do like a year trip, and then I thought, 1 or 2 years, and I started running out of money before I decided to try and work online. I was running through places very quickly. I've been to countries where I've spent like 2 or 3 days in the entire country. Yeah.
Oof.
And yeah, that in the beginning, I definitely felt like it was like bus, train, plane, bus, taxi. Like, and now I'll stay somewhere 2 to 3 months at a time sometimes. I just did 3 months in Argentina.
Right. Yeah. And
I'm getting ready to do 2 months in Cape Town.
I know. And so when you get to these places, do you literally just try your best to acclimate to their time, stay up as long as you can, go to bed at like when you normally would go to bed, whatever time that is, and just do your best to try? Is that like your secret sauce to it?
Yeah, I mean, it really works out if you're exhausted and you land somewhere at like 8 or 9 o'clock, and then by the time you get home and through customs and immigration and through the check into the Airbnb, then it's like 10 o'clock and you're like, oh, that worked out perfectly. Rarely is that what
No,
happens.
no.
Yeah, and then you can go to bed and you can wake up 8 hours later and you're on local time. That normally you're exhausted and you're landing somewhere at like 7:30 in the
A hundred
morning, and you're
percent,
like,
yes.
yeah, I just got to push through for 15 hours and then I can go to bed. That's more. And then of course, when you land at 7:30, you can't check into the hotel until 3. So then you can land and I got to push through and I got to carry everything around on my back and I'm tired. And and that's feels like the greater of
I know.
the
Can
likelihood.
you sleep on planes?
With Xanax. Yeah. With Xanax.
Xanax, some hope, and some cheap wine. Yeah, fair
Yeah,
enough.
Xanax and some wine. I can sleep on planes.
You're probably snoring in that like drunken Xanax, like.
Oh yeah, just a half a Xanax is, yeah, you don't want to overdo
No.
it.
Then they'll be like shaking you to wake you up, like Nathan, you've landed. What are some of the biggest misconceptions people have with traveling and what you do?
Oh wow. The thing is, I think a lot of people think we're on a permanent vacation, and it's largely, I think, our fault because we're general. I'm seeing a shift now. I do see people sharing more of like what it's actually like, where we're not on permanent vacation. Like we're working, and even I had some very good friends come visit me recently from Sweden, and they were definitely on vacation mode. And so, trying to strike a balance where, I have a job, and when you ask about the things I do first when you land, I'm trying now to get better about, go enroll in the gym. Get in a routine, go to the gym, where's the grocery store, fill your house up with, healthy foods. If you're going out to eat all the time, it's very easy to put on a lot of weight quickly. So try and find like a normal routine. But when you have friends come and visit, and I'm always very excited when my friends come and visit, and I'm so happy to see them, it is very disruptive to your normal routine.
Oh, sure. And the other thing too is like they're spending on like they're on vacation, so they're gonna spend a
They're on
shit
vacation.
ton more. They're
Yeah.
going and like you're like, I live here. Like this is where I'm
Yeah.
calling home for the next however many weeks, months, whatever, how long your visa is, however long you can stay. And so they're yeah, that's gotta be a really tough thing because they don't need to like you have to set boundaries. What kind of boundaries do you set with people then when they come?
I'm terrible at this. I'm just like,
Okay, in the
I'm
perfect
terrible at
world,
this.
in the perfect world.
Yeah, in a perfect world, I try and make myself available more for dinners. I'm like, and I tell my friends that came and visit, like, you guys are in charge of whatever touristic things you want to do during the day. I need to go to the gym, I need to work, and I'll meet you for drinks before dinner, and we'll go out and we'll do, you gotta cover yourself during the days, and then I'll plan evenings and weekends.
Yeah, exactly. And even that can get exhausting. Like hosting people all the time and you travel to these places that people want to go. And so you're kind of like, I can only host so much. Like I'm sure these like when you go
Yeah.
somewhere special, people probably are like, "Oh my God, tell me the weeks you're there. I want to come."
And even if they're not coming to see you, I just have a lot of overlap where I'll post on social media like I'm in, XX city or whatever. And then, these people, oh, I'm gonna be there at the same time, where maybe they're not specifically there to see you. So I was just in Buenos Aires for 2 months. I was in Argentina for 3, I was in Buenos Aires for 2. And those at one point, my friend and I figured out I had either been on, we did a Christmas vacation to Mendoza, or I had people in town for like 34 consecutive days.
Oh,
Yeah. And I was like, and you again, it's people you're excited to
I
see. I
know.
don't get to see them that
I
often.
know.
But it's like, if they're on
I
vacation,
know, but
they want to
my
go party, drinking, everything else. And especially these Swedish guys,
Yeah.
because the currency difference between Sweden and Argentina,
They're living large. They are living
they're living
large.
large. They're living large every day.
Yeah, big
But it
time.
was fun. It was a good time, but it was, disruptive for sure.
Yeah, and like there's only so much small talk one person can make. There's only so many times you can tell the same stories to different people over and over and over again until you're like, I just want to sit and binge Netflix. Like, I can't talk to anyone else right now. I need to get into a bubble and like just zone out and do nothing. Right? Am I right?
We're actually, yeah, for sure. Where I'm like, I need to decompress. We're actually recording this from my friend's hotel room because I have a friend that just happened to be in Florianopolis at the same time. And so we're having like a beach day. And I'm like, yeah, I'll bring my laptop. I'll pop into your room and record it here because I should be at the co-working space
You should
working.
be. Yes.
But I have a friend here that I never get to see, and we just happen to overlap by a couple of days. So once again, love him. I'm excited to spend
Oh
time
my
with
God.
him. Very disruptive to try to have like a normal life.
Yeah. What have you learned like the most about yourself from traveling for the last 10 years? You're like, how much time do you got?
I used to think I was a lot more extroverted than I am. And I think, I don't know if it's just getting older or things like this. I do, like you were just saying, like just want to be sometimes at home alone, watching Netflix. Also, and when I first started out, I wanted to see and do everything in the city. I was gonna whatever the top 25 things to do. And now I'm like, I don't have to do that. I'm not that person. Some very often for me, it's enough to be in a city, to be there. I don't have to run through the. I'm not the guy that's gonna check off every box in that city. Just to have gone somewhere and spent a good amount of time to feel the vibe of the city. I think I'm more that person than I initially thought I was, Anthony Bourdain.
I love that. I love that. And I bet you've also probably learned that you're really resilient because you've got to be when you travel this much and you there's probably been a lot, and we'll get into it in a little bit, like a lot of things that have probably gone wrong and you just have to trust and be resilient and right?
Yeah, I'll tell you the really good example of that is what we opened the show with and me getting turned away. I think a couple of years ago, or at least for sure at the beginning of my trip, and even probably a handful of years ago, I would have just had a meltdown. And, my friend and I just kind of looked at each other and like, this sucks so bad, but, freaking out, moaning, complaining. This is not going to fix the situation. So we went to TGI Fridays and opened our laptops because they had Wi-Fi at the bar at TGI Fridays. Opened our laptop and like, how do we sort this out? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
And you have to be able to, and we had the conversation like a day or two after we got everything sorted, where I said, like, I think both of us did a good job of going with the flow
Yeah.
and just like, this sucks so bad, but how do we fix it rather than having a meltdown, which would have gotten us
Right.
nowhere.
And at least if you, especially, I mean, I'm sure you don't always travel with a buddy, but in this point, you're traveling with a buddy that like one of you has to stay calm. Like one can freak out a little bit, but one really needs to stay grounded and calm to help calm the other one down so you can really flush through the situation. But it's amazing that you both were. So my hat is off to you both because that's not an easy thing. Really, it's not.
It was an extremely high stress situation because I mean, like I said, we're paying for
So
Airbnbs
much.
already in this other destination, and yeah, so it was extremely high stress, but we sorted it out.
Yeah, so much. So you've, and we'll get into it in our next episode, all of the places you've gone. But have there been places that you thought would be so freaking cool, and then you get there and you're like, this is the biggest fucking disappointment in my life. I could have done more at Disney World. Or the flip of that, vice versa, have you gone to places that you were like, I don't know, we'll think of it as a long layover, and then wanted to stay longer because it was so amazing.
So, yes, and I don't want to, if you have any Brazilian listeners or anything, actually, Where I'm at now, this is my second time in Brazil, and this is my second time where I just don't really connect with Brazil that much. I don't dislike it, I don't hate it. But I will say both times I was like super excited to come to Brazil, and then I'm like, yeah, it's nice. It certainly has it's from a food angle, from a food aspect, it has some really great food. But I just don't connect with Brazil, and it's me, it's not Brazil. I'm fully aware that it's me. I'm half Mexican. I'm very biased to
Sure.
Mexico. And I'm trying to improve my Spanish. So coming to the one country in Latin America where they don't speak Spanish, and I've made no effort. So I'm fully aware that the problem is me. But if I'm going to be in Latin America, I want to be speaking Spanish. I want to be working on my Spanish.
Well, technically,
And the
you're not
one
in Latin America, you're in South America, right?
South America, yeah, but this is like I think the only country in South America, might be French Guyana,
Yeah, I
here
was
in
gonna say
French
French
Guyana.
Guyana. Yeah.
Yeah, the only two places where they don't use
Yeah,
Spanish.
it's true. It's true. Brazil's huge though. I think it's the equivalent to the United States size wise, maybe, or similar. I mean, it's freaking massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
And we came in, I will say the circumstances we came in on with like getting turned away and
yeah.
everything, it was like my bad energy that I've just not let go of. And that we came for a beach destination. We're like, oh, we're gonna silver lining. If we have to go wait this 2 weeks out, let's head to the
Yeah.
beach and at least we'll be at the beach. And it's like this is the first day it hasn't rained.
Oh wow. Well, we'll
Yeah,
get you outside soon.
so
No, and I mean Brazil, when I went, my brother lives there, as we all know, and we went to Rio and then we went to Angra dos Reis, which is just slightly north, and very islandy and tropical. And I don't know. Like I like the people of Brazil. I like Brazil. I had a hard time really truly connecting with it. Certain aspects I really liked, and other aspects, and it could just be because there's a few people there that I love so deeply that makes me love it even more. But like this is what I don't understand. It's hotter than balls, right? Like it's so fucking hot, yet everything is deep fried and brown. Everything. Like I don't understand. I don't understand. Where's the salad? Where is the
yeah.
vegetables? Like, I don't understand it.
All my favorite Brazilian dishes are quite heavy, like
Yeah.
feijoada. Do you have
Of course,
feijoada?
I have feijoada. I've made feijoada. I ate it there. I ate moqueca. I ate, like,
Moqueca,
it's, yes,
pastiches.
but it's all heavy, heavy food. And we were
Yeah,
there in their
it's
summertime, and it's like fucking hot. It's so hot. You don't want a bean soup when it's hot. Like,
you're gonna only have so many acai
oh my
bowls.
God. I'm like, okay, their fruit, some of the best fruit I've ever had on the planet by far. Like, I think their fruit is amazing. But vegetables, the city, the country lacks vegetables, in my opinion.
Yeah, the fruits are really good here, and Colombia as well.
Yep.
Colombia had some amazing exotic fruits. And the other flip side of that, the one that surprised me, that I was thinking, the number one, I followed the advice of a very famous travel blogger, and he did not like Vietnam. So I went to Vietnam thinking I'm probably not gonna like it, and I did one way ticket, and I was like, I might leave early if it sucks as bad as this guy says, and loved Vietnam.
Yeah.
Thought Vietnam was amazing. Really want to go back. Probably, if I was pressed for my favorite Asian food, I would say probably Vietnamese or Thai. Super impressed with that country. Yeah, beautiful country, amazing food, affordable destination. Maybe not the best beaches in the world,
No.
but loved
And like
Vietnam.
the nicest people, some just really kind-hearted, super nice people, lots of vegetables. They know how to do a vegetable in Vietnam and Thailand. Appreciate that. Like, I've never been, but it's on my bucket list to go, and I love the food in both places.
Oh, you have to go. Yeah, I feel like when you say nice people, I'm like, I have the best experience with people. And so everyone's like, oh, the people in this country are so nice. The people in this country, I'm like, I really find that people everywhere are so nice. If you just make the even like, I mentioned earlier, I've spent such a large amount of time in Eastern Europe, Bulgaria and Romania and places like this. And some of the people, they seem like a little bit stoic or something. And then the moment you kind of like engage with them just a little bit and you like crack that surface or whatever, we could do another multi-part podcast just about the kindness that has been shown to me by literal strangers in, I think, every country I've ever been to around the world.
Oh, I love that. It's because you show up with kindness. You like, if you show up with kindness and you're not threatening and you're just being kind, I think it comes right back to you. Like, how can it not? You know, and you, I'm sure in your 10 years out in the world, you have helped other people many times over too.
I try. Yeah, I definitely try, but it's like everyone's always like, "Oh, this country has the nicest people. This country has the nicest people." I'm like, I don't know a country that really doesn't. And even the ones where you think maybe like Bulgarians are a tough nut to crack or whatever, it's like, okay, but once you get just a little bit in there, they're just going to be like the nicest people. But if I think if I was pressed to say, I mean, one, I'm biased towards Mexico, but if anyone's been to the Philippines, I just think the Philippines are just but I think probably a lot of that has to do with they all speak English. So it's a little easier to connect quickly because everyone speaks English. I think it's like their second language or something. But Filipino people, if I was pressed to say one country where everyone was just like the nicest people you've ever met, it would be the
Oh,
Philippines.
I love that. I think you, and if you've not decided to try to do this, I think you need to apply for the Amazing Race and you have to do it. You would fucking crush it so hard because you've been to all of these places that they go to. And like, yeah, you have to do some stupid challenges, but you could win $1 million and you would crush it. You would crush it. Crush it.
I could do it as long as as I've seen Amazing Race where they do this like tuk-tuk
Yeah.
race or
Yeah.
something. I can't do this. If I have to eat something gross or something, I can do
Oh
that.
God.
But yeah, anything where I'm like a tuk-tuk race across India and you have to repair your own tuk-tuk, I'd lose
But
immediately.
you have a friend, you have your partner. You pick the right partner that's their strength. Like knowing that you're willing to eat the bugs and they're willing to fix a tuk-tuk, like I think you guys can you can figure that out. I would not be
Yeah,
your
I need to
tuk-tuk
be
person, but I would
partnered.
not eat the crap. Like I've wanted to do it for so long and my husband and I watch it and I'm like every time we watch it I'm like you'd have to do that challenge. Like I can't, but I'll do that
What is it
one.
that you want to do? Yeah, what's your strength? What would you bring to it?
Personality. Like babe, look at me. Like come
Personality.
on now. We would make such a good team just for TV quality alone. Like oh my God, we would have people peeing themselves watching the two of us. I'm somewhat athletic, but not like No, I would be good at memorizing certain things.
Okay.
I would do some of the scary like height things, maybe. But I would just be a good travel buddy and like I'd keep the morale up. And like
You're like passenger princess.
yeah, kind of, but like I can drive a stick shift, so that's something because a lot of those idiots go on the show and they don't know how to drive a stick shift. So I'd be good there. And I when things got tough, I would be able to stay calm and have fun. That's something I definitely bring.
That's an asset. Yeah, that's an
Yeah,
asset.
because shit hits the
Yeah.
fan. And I would keep us calm. And I would be like, no, we got this. We got this. You just need to eat the bugs. I'm not eating those fucking bugs.
Yeah, we needed you there when everything went down at the airport.
Well, I know. I would have just been like, let's get some drinks. Let's sort this out at the bar. Like, fuck it. Like, we got credit cards. Let's throw money at this problem. That throwing money at the problem always solves it. Always. Always.
I've said for a long time, if I have a cell phone and a credit card, there's not a lot of situations I can't get out of.
Million.
I just need a cell phone and a credit card, and we're going to sort this
Yeah, and some
out.
tequila. 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. Now, as you get older, do you still want to do this? Not that you're old. I mean, we're the same age, but you've been doing it for 10 years. Like, do you see yourself continuing to do this for 10 more years? Like, tell me.
I'm slowing down. I'm 100% slowing down. I was just having a conversation with my friend the other day. I now am considering doing 3 4-month bases or 4 3-month bases. And we kind of chopped it up around like, what would that look like around the world? When I'm in Europe, I go to Europe every summer. And when I'm in Europe, that's definitely when I'm like normally changing. I'm bouncing around, whoever has a cheap flight. At this point, I have a lot of friends there. Someone's always getting married, or there's a birthday, or having a kid, or something. So I need to bounce around for that. And then it looks like, going to probably Mexico City and Buenos Aires for 3 or 4 months out of the year and being a bit calmer, and then disrupting that a bit with some time in Europe or Asia where you stay somewhere for a week or two and then bounce on to the next place. But I'm definitely slowing down. I'm definitely staying places longer periods of time. I feel like I'm getting to be a bit of a now everywhere I go, I want like a SodaStream, an air fryer, and a bum gun. I'm getting to be a bit of a fussy traveler.
I don't blame you because, the other thing too is as your parents get older, your mom's in Mexico now, right? She's
Yes,
in
correct.
Menina, tell me, say it. I was
Mérida.
so close.
Mérida, the capital of the Yucatan
Yeah.
Peninsula.
And you have dual citizenship, correct? With Mexico and the
Yes.
US. So you can go and stay for a long enough time and not get kicked out. Whereas other countries, you would have to play the spreadsheet game and figure out when you got in, when you can leave.
Yes, I can in Mexico, but also if I stay more than 6 months in Mexico, I become a tax
Oh,
resident.
we don't want that.
Yeah, so So I do have the ability to come and go in Mexico without needing a visa or needing, a lot of these countries you need a visa extension. My time in Europe, I'm always counting my 90 Schengen days and kind of budgeting. Well, this is another topic, but Bulgaria just entered the Schengen, and for 10 years, Bulgaria has been my go-to non-Schengen country. So I would, budget my days in the Schengen, and then I would bounce over to Bulgaria for a month or 6 weeks or something and save some Schengen days for the end of my time in Europe. But now Bulgaria is entering the Schengen, so my number one non-Schengen country is no
Oh, you gotta find
longer.
anyone. For those who don't know, can you explain what that is, the Schengen?
The Schengen is a collection of countries in Europe where basically it's visa-free travel, but I think it's something like it was 26. I guess it must be closer to 30 now because Bulgaria and Romania entered. And once you enter any one of those countries, you can move visa-free between all of those countries for 90 days out of any 180-day period. So once you enter for the next 180 days, you can spend 90 days in there. So usually I'll enter, I'll go for a month, I'll leave for a couple of weeks, I'll come back and forth, in and out for a couple of weeks until you hit that 90 days.
Which is really nice for those who may or may not understand fully what you're saying. Like if you decide you want to, because it's very cheap to fly from country to country in Europe itself, that you then don't need to go in and out of immigration and customs again. Like you're flying in, domestically, basically between these countries, which makes such a huge difference time-wise. Because for those who don't travel a lot internationally, I mean, customs and immigration can take hours to clear in some of these countries that don't have their shit together, let alone even if they do have their shit together, so many flights come in at the same time to process people. And then it's just, I mean, I've waited at the Cancun customs. I don't know. It was something like 4.5 hours one time because
Which
it was same thing in Belize when we went. They did, I don't know what happened, but they could not get it together. And like, all of the flights came in at once. We all disembarked and we all just stood outside on the tarmac staring at each other like, what the fuck? And all you want to do, because I'm on vacation, is put on my stupid flip-flops and get a cocktail in my hand. Like if they, and pee. If they had bathrooms and somebody handing out cocktails or cold beer, I'd stand all day. I have no problem. But it's the fact that like, you just want to hurry up and get to and drop your shit off. And like you just said, like get that thing you want to eat. And can't, and you're just staring at the customs and immigration people like, let me fucking through. I want to spend money. Let me through.
Just leaving Buenos Aires, which is one of my new favorite
Yeah.
cities. We were there, I think, 3 or 4 hours earlier, and at one point we're like, oh, we're just missing this flight. We're missing this flight, and they'll sort us out and they'll get us on the next one, because customs and immigration was a madhouse. It was one of my worst customs and immigration experiences ever. Thank God our flight was delayed by like 45 minutes, or we would not have. If our flight had left on time,
Oh.
I don't know that we would have made it. Yeah. And my friend that I'm traveling with, he's so like Mr. Nice Guy. And I'm like, let's just duck and cut and just tell people like, sorry, my flight's boarding. And
Yeah.
he's such a like pacifist. He's like, no, it's okay. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, had I been alone, I would have just ducked the
Yeah, you
line
would
and
have
been like, sorry, sorry.
said a bunch of shit in Spanish, ducked the line, and been like, I gotta go. I got to go.
Sorry,
Yeah.
we're boarding right now. But yeah, my friend's like, no, they'll
Yeah.
take care of us.
No, when we went to Brazil. That was the I learned a handful of sentences and words, but one of them that I still remember today was saying sorry. Like I was like, I have to learn how to say sorry in Portuguese because I feel like I'm going to say it a ton. And God, I absolutely did. And the other thing I learned how to say was, no, you go. Nope, you go. Like paji paji, você paji, because you just fucking go. Like we're Americans, just go. Or desculpa, desculpa. I'm sorry, desculpa.
Desculpa.
Said that a lot. Okay.
That one's handy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you want to answer some listener questions?
Oh, for
Oh, my
sure.
God.
100%.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay. Holly in Kansas writes, Holly, we all agree with you. This is my dream come true, literally. I would love to have done this in my younger years. Would you recommend doing this? What advice do you have for somebody who wants to do something like this?
Well, Holly, I mean, I'm doing this in my 40s, so you don't necessarily have to do this in your younger years. I'm 43. I've started when I was in my early 30s. So this is not only for young people. And for people that are interested in doing this, there's so many resources out there. There's so many free resources on how to get started. And if it's something you're really interested in, I'll say number one, vet your gurus. Right now, we see this big trend. Everyone's a guru. Make sure that the person, if you're going to invest in your time or money into taking a course, make sure that this person has authority on the subject. But I would say just line up some freelance work, line up at least a stable of clients where, I don't think that I would just start this with at zero. People used to say, hunger is a good motivator. I think I would leave with at least a stable of clients where you're going to be making 1500 bucks a month or something, which is enough to get by in one of these more affordable countries. And go do it and figure out if it's for you. And if you like it, build your clientele, build your business.
No, that's great advice. What are beyond like your website, what are and we'll talk about that in a minute. What would be a couple of people or websites besides yourself that you would love people to follow or to use as a resource?
Okay, well, I wouldn't use mine as a resource. Mine's most about food.
Which is
So
still, I
I
mean,
don't.
that can motivate somebody to pick a country.
If you want help picking a country, my site is good for that. I don't really talk a lot about the digital nomad aspect of this. So for who is good, I would say my friend Goats on the Road. Goats on the Road are very good. They talk a lot about how to become a digital nomad. And this is a bit of a little this is a bit of a segue into, I think you and I kind of touched on this in our pre-call. And soon for any LGBT digital nomads or aspiring digital nomads, I'm launching a community called gaydigitalnomads.com where we're going to be working with LGBT remote workers, digital nomads, or aspiring digital nomads. So look for that probably by the time this is out to be a resource for people that are interested in becoming a digital nomad.
I love that. I love that because it's nice to have a community like that for especially LGBTQIA plus folks because some countries might not be as welcoming as others for that, which fucking sucks. And it's nice to have people in a community that you can go to and talk to people about everything, not just that, but like just everything in general and just feel safe and protected in a way, you know?
Yeah, we want a community. I mean, it's going to handle all of the website's up now, gaydigitalnomads.com. And of course, we're dealing with the most popular topics, affordability, most affordable countries, places with good Wi-Fi and all this. But there are a separate list or set of concerns for LGBT travelers and digital nomads in general. So it's I've not seen that it
Oh,
exists. So
good.
we're going to create it. We're going to make it. We're going to I'm pretty excited about it. The website just went live, so we hope that
Yay.
we're looking at doing conferences or retreats or some getaways, some tours. We're gonna figure out. Number one thing is I gotta figure out where the community is, where there are LGBT remote workers, digital nomads. How do I find these people and what do they need? And we're going to build it for them.
Perfect. I love that. Love is love, and I love that. Okay. Taylor from Instagram writes, I've traveled by myself. This is very apropos. I've traveled by myself, but not for more than a week or two, and also to air quotes, fairly safe places. Have you had any situations traveling solo that scared you, or you thought, shit, what am I thinking? Any advice on staying safe in new places?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely, and once again, it was me. I think I put myself in some pretty dumb situations where, a little bit more situational awareness would have been great. And I think especially you said it was a woman that wrote in, right? What was her name? Yeah, especially traveling India and places like this. I heard some stories about, female solo travelers. Stay in a hostel or try and go with a buddy. If you're traveling by yourself, stay in a hostel, buddy up with someone, find someone to go pal around with. There's lots of places, couch surfing meetups. And find someone so that you're not doing this by yourself all the time. I think there is safety in numbers. And a lot of times, I mean, follow your gut, follow your intuition. Some of these situations that we find ourselves in, they could be a little bit of also just differences in culture. And maybe these people don't know that they're coming off as threatening or something like this. Just find a way to remove yourself from the situation. Thanks, I gotta go. Politely see yourself out.
Yeah.
That's what I've had to do
And
before.
I agree with you that like asking for help, finding a buddy, like if you're in a bar and something's going south and sideways, you could go up to someone like you and be like, listen, I'm traveling by myself. This guy's a fucking creep. Can you help me? And you would easily
Yeah.
take that person under your wing and be like, no pro, you're my new best friend. Come with me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, so I think that's important. And also just like you said, situational awareness, know your surroundings. Sometimes there's nothing you can do and you get attacked and or you're in a place where you just there's a lot of horrible, creepy people out there that are just not nice. And so you didn't do anything wrong and you did everything right and still this person's a fucking creep. And
Yeah.
it sucks, but I agree, safety in numbers, unfortunately.
Safety numbers. And if you're traveling by yourself, if you stay at a guest house or a dorm or a hostel or something like this, find that other solo traveler that would probably love to make a new friend, that probably would love to have someone to go explore the city with. They might be a little bit nervous, scared, uncomfortable, uneasy about traveling alone. And just, probably people that are staying in a hostel by themselves, they want make friends, or staying in a guest house or a dorm, they want to meet people. They put themselves in and just say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? have you been to this temple? Have you been to this, whatever the thing to do in that town is? Do you want to go with me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally agree with you. Yeah, don't be scared to talk to people. I mean, you're traveling alone. You got to talk to
Yeah.
somebody. Like, unless you're going to one of those Indian retreats where it's silent, which to me sounds like hell. I talk all the
I
time.
have a friend that has done that. Yeah, I have a friend that did
No,
it.
thank you. No, thank you. Okay. Ernesto from Instagram writes, I'm sure you've been to a lot of places in 10 plus years, but do you have a travel bucket list? If so, what is your top three travel bucket list places?
Only three. Like, so I tell people all the time, like, I think I've been to like 67 countries or something now at this point. And my list of places I want to go is now longer than when I started because as you travel and you tell people, like, I really like scuba diving. And so the moment you tell someone you like scuba diving, they're like, oh, have you been here? Have you been here? Have you been here? Like, I've not dove the Great Barrier Reef. I've not dove the Blue Hole in Belize. So I tell people all the time, like, 10 years and 67 countries, 5 continents later, and this list just keeps getting longer. This is why I can't stop traveling. But top three, oh, Japan. Japan is the biggest hole in my bucket. We had tickets during COVID, so you know how that went. Japan, I really want to do an overwater bungalow in like the Maldives or something like this.
Who does girl?
And
Who doesn't? Who doesn't
right.
want
And this is like I'm banking points on this. I'm like saving points to like splurge on
Let's
this. Either that or
manifest it. I love
I
it.
need to find a collaboration or save points. And then the third one, if you're talking bucket list, if you're talking, does it have to do activity, it's Northern Lights. If we're going to go bucket list, it's the glass igloo in Finland watching the Northern Lights. So I would be very happy seeing the Northern Lights. If we're going to say bucket list, it's watching them from the glass
Yeah,
igloo.
100%. Like Northern Lights is, I think, on, I would guess the majority of everyone, like it should be on the majority of everyone's bucket list. Like, I've always wanted to see it as well. And I would say, yeah, Finland, there's certain places in Northern Canada you can see them, but the
Yeah.
glass igloo would be great. I follow
Iceland.
this chick on TikTok called, I don't know her name, But she lives in that remote island. It's like Slavsbarg or Skalsbarg, or do you know what I'm talking about? It's like way
Yeah.
north, and it's like the last place that has civilization, basically. And if you live there, and they are in total darkness because they're on the Arctic Circle for a certain amount of time every year. And so, anyway, she lives there, and she's a dollop, and she makes it look so fun. And she's like, it's just so cozy this time of year. That bitch went to Miami recently on TikTok for a month, for a fucking month. I was like, no wonder it's cozy for however long you want to live up there, because you're going away for fucking a month to Miami. And she's like, it's amazing in Miami. I'm like, no shit, it's amazing in Miami. You've been in pure darkness for 3 months.
You would have to do something like that
Yeah.
after being in that environment. I have a friend, it's gone venturing on Instagram, and you'd have to scroll back quite far. And I can't remember if he's at the South Pole or the North Pole, but he was in one of these Arctic research stations where they're out there for like 12 or 15 months at a
Oh,
time or
hell no.
something. And he's doing some research out there, and he had so much time to perfect his photography. But you can scroll
Oh,
back. It's
wow.
quite a ways back. I just looked at this a week or two ago, so you do need to scroll. He has some insanely gorgeous Northern Lights photos from, and he was like, I had nothing else to do but work on my photography
Wow. And it's
skills.
hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to catch a beautiful shot of that, because and you also need a very durable, expensive camera, because it is so cold, and the exposure time that you need to in order to expose it properly to get the it to show up the way like it does in a lot of these edited photos. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine.
There's a documentary. I think it's called Under an Arctic Sky or Under the Arctic Sky. It's Chris, the photographer is Chris something, and his dream slash goal was to go surfing under the Northern Lights in Iceland.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, and it's all the, I mean, no spoiler alerts. I mean, you can see from the
So
poster that
cold.
he achieved the goal, but it was everything that it took. I think he had on like two or three dry
Oh,
suits
God.
or something, and then there was like a
Oh,
snowstorm, and
God.
they didn't think they could, but it makes for some incredible
I'm
photos
sure.
of him riding these waves underneath the Northern Lights, and it's
Oh,
stunning.
I'm sure. I am
But
sure. I'm absolutely sure. I can't wait to check this out. He is out of his goddamn mind. I don't like camping.
yeah.
Like, this is way. I don't even camp. Let alone. I don't like a hotel without room service. Let alone fucking that. That is next level. Okay. Last listener question. We digress.
Last
We
thing.
digress. Sammy in Rhode Island writes, is it hard to figure out where you're going next? Do you have to factor in visas, countries to travel, country travel requirements, vaccines? How do you pick where you're going to go? Well, this is another very apropos question, Sammy.
Yeah, clearly I don't factor in vaccines, or I would be in I would be in Cape Town right now.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, I've now for me is a lot of winter avoidance. So that kind of makes it easy for me. As soon as it gets to be about like September-ish, I bail out of Europe. I'm kind of always chasing summer.
Sure.
September, October. I'm not even that big onto fall weather. So I'm really kind of normally chasing summer. I don't mind doing a destination as like a vacation place for like 5 days, 7 days or something. But normally I'm looking for summer weather. And now, more and more, I'm, like I said, I'm half Mexican. I'm trying to improve my Spanish. I found myself very drawn to big Spanish speaking cities. So my vibe right now is Mexico City, specifically Mexico City, Buenos Aires and Madrid. But yeah, a lot of times you have to, I'm chasing visas. I'm very fortunate that I have two passports, and I'm very fortunate, extremely fortunate. One of them is an American
Yeah.
passport. So it's quite a strong passport. Visas, I don't normally have to have a very, between one of my two passports, I'm usually fine with that. But yeah, it is something you should always be cognizant. You should be aware of. Safety. I feel like I could put more of an emphasis on safety, but I've traveled to some places where, like Egypt, right after Egypt, Turkey. I remember at one point I was going from Thailand to Egypt to Turkey, and all three of them had been bombed in like the past 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I could put more of an emphasis on safety, but I don't know. I mean, I really feel like a lot of the stuff that you see, I remember we were in Thailand when they were saying the rioting was happening and everything. And it was like three city blocks, and the rest of the city, they're going on about their lives, and people have jobs and kids and bills and, normal lives to live. I remember we were standing, we had gone to see a movie, and we're standing in the mall parking garage overlooking the rioting, like eating an ice cream. And we're like, but if you watch CNN, all of Bangkok was on fire,
That's what
So yeah,
happens.
you have to be aware of all these things, but you also need to be aware that a lot of these situations, they're this drama sells TV and drama sells advertising, and don't be stupid about it. But there are places I really want to go to Venezuela. I'm dying to get to Venezuela, and I just don't think now's the moment.
That kind of
Okay.
stuff. And I think the other thing to that is too, if you have time, do the research and figure out some of the cultural differences that these countries might have to what you're used to. And, like we were saying before, to lead with kindness, you also need to, and you want to, in, a lot of people travel like this to insert themselves and to feel what a new country would feel like. But they don't always go the length that they need to go to, I know you don't want to fully assimilate to this country, but like, the people around you are living their daily lives. You
Yeah.
need to understand some of their cultural and like their customs, some of their cultural differences to yours, so you can respect them because they deserve the respect. They're allowing you into their little bubble, so you really should do some of your own research and not be
You're a
and
guest.
not be an ignorant asshole that like
Yeah, I
an
think.
entitled American, which is a lot of what you see probably when you're traveling, and you're like, thank God.
A lot of the places I go, I feel like a lot of the Americans I see, they're not like these super entitled Americans because it's so
Yeah,
far.
true.
Of course you see them, but like when you're in Asia and places like this, the mentality of a lot of the people that want to go there, they're really pretty open-minded and they're excited to be there. Whereas if you go places that are Cancun or something like this, you might see more of it. It's quick, it's easy for them to get to. It doesn't take a lot of effort for them to make it over there.
And the douchebaggery. Okay,
Yeah.
so usually I say like, what are you currently eating right now at home? And home to you is a hotel room. So what are you looking forward to eating before you leave Brazil?
We still really need a great version of feijoada. We've had some feijoada, not the best version. Moqueca, I'm really big on, and I don't think that I've had enough acai. I definitely need some more acai. I've probably had more than enough of those pastiches. Do you know what
Yeah,
those are?
I do.
Oh, I love
I love
them. Like
them.
I've had more of my share, but like you were saying earlier, the food is quite heavy. So I probably could cut back on those a little bit,
Have
but
you had hakeijao?
which one's this?
Hakeijao is, you usually get it at breakfast time, and it looks like it comes in a little jar, and it's white, and it's the texture of like melted brie almost, and that's kind of what it tastes
Okay.
like. And you smear it on like toast, or it's almost like they kind of described it as like their version of cream cheese, but it's not. It's different than that, but it's a breakfast thing. It is so good. Hakeijao. It is so good. Or if you're like off the beaten path and can find like a queijeria, and it's literally like a little hut that all they do is make cheese. Like find that too if you're into the cheese.
I'll have to look for this. There's a digital nomad meetup happening tomorrow. And a lot of them are, I think, Brazilian digital nomads from other parts of Brazil that have come here for beach weather or for the beach. And it's a potluck.
Perfect.
And so everyone, so yeah, there's, we, I know I saw a bunch of Brazilians in the group and we're supposed to bring a dish that represents your home
Oh, what are
country.
you going to
So
bring?
hopefully, yeah, me. I think we're being super, my friend and I, because I'm half Mexican, half American. I think we don't have a great kitchen. We're in an air, like a not great Airbnb. And I was like, oh, I'm just gonna go Tex-Mex and bring guacamole. That represents like, yeah, because I don't have pots and pans and everything. It's not the best Airbnb I've ever been in to prepare like an actual
No, I
meal.
love that. And like bring like a spicy margarita, like for stuff for that. That's what I would
Yes.
do.
Well, they're doing capirinhas. I know
I
we're having
know, I know.
capirinhas.
Caipirinhas are everywhere. Caipirinha headaches are horrible. I will tell you that. I've had many caipirinhas. Okay, how can people find you? How can they get a hold of you?
I think the bet my website or my Instagram, they're both Foodie Flashbacker.
Perfect. That's it. That's all. That's it.
Booty Flashbacker, or the new one launching, Gay Digital Nomads as
There you
well.
go.
Same on Instagram and the website for both of those, Booty Flashbacker or
Okay,
GayDigitalNomads.com.
perfect. This is the last question I ask everybody, and you're going to get it twice. If you had all the money in the world, where are you going and what are you eating? And for you, you'd probably actually go to this place and eat there. So I'm dying to know.
If I had all the money in the world, I would be eating ramen in
Yeah,
Japan.
you would
I
be.
mean, Japan is my number one bucket list. At ramen or oh, all the money in the world, I would be in that gyro dreams of
Oh,
sushi, the
yes, you would.
sushi. Yeah,
Yes, you would.
I think I would be in Japan eating that
Yes, you would.
sushi.
Oh, I love this. Nathan, you are a dollop. You are just the best human on the planet. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for having me on. I look forward to part two.
Yahoo! Have fun at the beach, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, how much do we love Nathan? I know. I know. Wait till you hear our second interview, part two, which will be coming out in not next week, but the week after. So stay tuned for that. I will link all of his information, his websites, everything in the show notes. So head on over to my website for that, ElizabethRFuller.com. Of course, tag me on Instagram and all your food adventures at Let's Go on a Food Adventure. And if you've got questions, send me an email, Let's Go on a Food Adventure at gmail.com. All right, I think that's it. So make some yummy food together this weekend. Lead with kindness, and I'll see you in 2 Fridays with my part two with Nathan. All right, guys, bye!